Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. Access Astrology is three astrologers who get together and chat on the phone and take calls from listeners and read emails from listeners. So, welcome. This must be the 10th of what month are we? January.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, still early.
How did that happen already? Oh, my God. Can't be January
anyway, so far
yet.
We have two of us on the line so far, and we're hoping the third is joining in a moment.
We'll hope that Heather will be showing up. Yep.
I'm Mark Wolf, speaking from New York, and...
I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, also in New York.
Yep, and Heather should be calling in from Minnesota,
our third out in the snow.
Did they have a storm out there again? Or?
They did, and we're going to have another one tomorrow, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're supposed to get six to 10 inches tomorrow. Yeah, I'm sure she's shoveling. She's a firm shoveler, that Heather. So I'm sure she is shoveling because they've had a lot of snow, too. And we did.
Yeah.
We had our little blizzard. So we've blizzards here, blizzards there. They keep you on your toes.
Right.
Make you appreciate non-blizzards.
Nothing like weather to start off the new year.
Yeah. There she is. There's our girl ringing in from far away.
Yes, this is Heather Rowan Robbins coming in from Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Cool. And were you out shoveling snow?
We figured you out shoveling snow.
Yeah, I have had to shovel through some snow. It's not too bad out here today. It's just very, very cold.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of extra inches of snow.
Yeah, we're getting more tomorrow. I'm all excited. I love snow. So we were talking about the week. We just kind of started, and I think, what is ahead. I noticed I loved Venus going into Sagittarius last week. Felt the difference.
Oh, you noticed that, huh?
I did. I was like, we're out of the swamp. We're into a whole new energy. Yay!
Uh-huh.
So that was helpful.
I think it was also it certainly was more cheerful on a good day. I think it also, though, lowered impulse control on people. I saw people, eating chocolate for no particular reason. But I also see the increase in crime rate, the sudden explosive violence
mm-hmm.
that happened around the same time. It wasn't, the dark feelings of that Venus in Scorpio, once Venus went into Sagittarius and lowered the impulse control, just as Mercury was squaring Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
It really set off a lot of people. So it wasn't, long, slow, carefully planned. It was, like the man in Italy who murdered his wife and two lovers, and they're all in their, 80s. They're a jealous lover. And what happened in Arizona and a few other crimes around the country that were these sudden impulse crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Where people just kind of lost it. And then they said, I can't take it anymore, and then pulled out the gun or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The case of the father that castrated his daughter's lover or something, and I'm like, oh, man.
Ugh.
It was kind of, Uranus is separations and explosions, and so when he's in a hard aspect, especially with Mercury is very fast-moving and quick, and he doesn't always think about how. He just does it, and then he worries about it later, what he's going to do about it. So
exactly.
I do think it was interesting to kind of see everybody go, wow, that happened fast. And, of course, all the controversy about, what you were saying, the rhetoric, Mercury-Uranus, that words, Mercury, can cause people to take action that's crazy and explosive and do bad things, so that trigger of passion. And I think when we see Mercury-Uranus, we do kind of find unexpected words can trigger things, or we can find that we're triggered by words. I know I had a number of people cranky. They would growl, and I'm like, ooh. And I actually said to one, I said, I'd be really glad when your Mars transit's over. And they apologized to me. They go, I know, I've been really cranky lately, haven't I? And I'm like, uh-huh. Like, not at me. I'm nice. Be nice to me. Although, obviously, I must be getting on their nerves because they've been growling at me lately, too. So, I think I'm nice. Maybe you don't. But, you know, it's that kind of energy where you're just like, rah, 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 rah. So, always fun astrology.
There is that kind of cranky, strange edge. But that Mercury-Uranus, we see what, you know, it's change of minds, change of ideas, and sudden difficult news, we said, with Mercury square Uranus last week. But that it would inspire us to change how we communicate. And I do think that one of the fallout of this terrible incident in Arizona is going to be the really examining the political rhetoric, which has gotten so far out of control now, that it's taken the steam and the energy out of the righteousness of that violent speech on either side, but particularly on the, you know, putting them in the crosshairs metaphors that were, had become so vehement.
Yeah, shoot and reload. The whole, you know, there was this one thing that was like, you know, there was, they had her on, the woman who had gotten shot on a channel where the guy, when Sarah Palin had first put her in the crosshairs, saying to her, well, you know, don't you really think this is going to actually do anything? You know, and the commentator underneath was, you want to take those words back now? Because obviously something happened. And I think we don't realize how powerful words are. And we've gotten, you know, I mean, Eris, the goddess of discord, also stationed last week. And, you know, we're learning, we're still learning about these new planets that were recently discovered. But in terms of the astrology of it, there's been so many new planets that have been discovered that are impacting on the collective. And we know when we had the, you know, when one of them got discovered, Uranus or Neptune, the huge impact that had. We've had like seven new ones discovered with these guys with the Hubble. They're just finding stuff out there. And one of them they named Eris, the goddess of discord, and she started the Trojan War, and she causes trouble and stirs up problems. And really, since she's been discovered, there has been a whole, to my mind, a deterioration in the level of the way people talk to each other. And, you know, a communication where they get a little crazy or they get a little out of control, and then you're like, wow, that's really a little out of control, isn't it? And without a consequence. And she was the stirrer of trouble. And literally, when they went to the convention to name her, that was when they voted to demote Pluto, you know. And you know, it was kind of like, ooh. And they had a secret vote after everybody left. You know, they didn't tell anybody they were going to have this vote to demote him.
Discord.
Yeah, goddess of discord. And so she stopped last week. In Aries, the sign of guns and rifles and shots and harsh words.
Aries?
Huh? Yeah,
what
she's 21 degrees Aries, getting the square from the sun.
Yeah, and it moves very, very slowly.
Yeah.
This one. So, you know, when we think, you know, Aries, we have to think it for a long time.
Yeah.
And
actually, I forget
just
how long.
10,500 years to go around the whole cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a big girl.
Yeah, there we go.
Big, slow-moving girl. Yep.
I also, interesting to look at while we're on the subject is, even if we only have the solar planets, the solar chart of Representative Gifford and the solar chart of the man who shot her, because they just released his birthday.
Oh, wow, okay.
And she was born June 8th, 1970, and she has a T-square with her, and it's so painfully bad. I mean, it's a clear astrology. It's kind of scary. She was a Gemini moon in Leo, probably, even if we did a noon chart, with her Mars at 4 Cancer, squaring Uranus at 4 Libra natally. So she had a Mars-Uranus square natally that forms a T-square with Chiron at 9 Aries, and
that's a head wound.
Set off by Pluto right now. Pluto is opposed to Mars, square her Uranus. He was born September 10th, 1988, never underestimate how crazy us Virgos can be. He looks like
he's a Virgo. Oh no!
New moon in Virgo.
September 8th, 1988.
September 10th.
September 10th, 1988. Okay.
And the girl that he killed was born September 11th.
The little girl, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Born the day after him.
And he has his Mars at 9 Aries. And his Mars conjuncts her Chiron at 9 Aries. Aries rules the head, and where did he shoot her?
In the head, right.
Mm-hmm. He has Venus in Leo.
On the left side of the head, too. And they're both in the under 15 degrees, so it's the left side of the head.
Very interesting. And he has his, he was born with his Saturn-Uranus conjunct at 26 to 27 degrees of Sagittarius.
Which is getting
so
the square.
The Uranus conjunction now was squaring his Saturn-Uranus conjunction.
Right.
And that would tend to unhinge if he was not well hinged. I mean, there's nothing in a chart that says you have to be crazy.
Right.
But genius and craziness can look very close together depending upon their life, their chemistry, you know, their choice, their soul choices.
Right. He's also born on a south node eclipse.
Yeah.
So his destiny is the north node in Pisces to be in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also has a south node, but not on an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her south node in Virgo and her north node in Pisces.
Right.
So maybe her destiny may be to be infirm in the long run. But her north node was conjunct Pallas Athena, and you could really see that warrior for truth, the willingness to speak up, was beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
So
he's really not that old if he's born in 88.
No, he was very young.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Thought be
and,
a baby.
You know, every sign of was born with a Mercury-Neptune square, not too tightly, but it was definitely a Mercury-Neptune square. And that his Saturn, and Mercury-Neptune-Mars T-square, and his Mercury-Neptune-Mars T-square sat on her cardinal Mars-Uranus-Chiron T-square.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those intersection of fates that you see being set off by the transits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she has Mars in Cancer, which is danger from food, so she was shot in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, hard chart.
It sounds like many many of his signs were ignored. No, there's been nothing said about his family. But
He was kicked out of college. He was asked to leave college because he was a little crazy in the college thing. They told him that if he wanted to come back, he had to have a psychiatric note. And he dropped out instead. Mm-hmm. And we don't have comprehensive mental health policies in the United States. You know, we don't really, it's not necessarily treated and not necessarily identified. But apparently the college that
another
he was at.
Good reason to have.
Universal health care.
Universal health care, yes.
You can, not that he would necessarily have signed up to go and get on some medicine, but it was interesting that the college said if you want to come back, you have to have a psychiatric evaluation.
Maybe his family would have insisted on having him treated earlier if it had been free and accessible. We don't know anything about his family history yet, but I thought that was a really
I don't think there's any information there, is there?
Just that his family were loners, you know, the whole loner thing. That loner thing, every time I see that, I go, loner, again the loner, you know, the disenfranchised, the not connected, the lack of community, the destabilizing force.
And
we really are community critters. We need our communities, you know. They help us. They give us structure and support, and there's so much fragmentation these days where it just isn't the community that is really very scattered, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah, the whole top half of the chart is all about others and our connections to them.
But again, we can use. It's interesting that who was martyred in this case was a woman who was so centrist and not extreme left wing,
mm-hmm.
and she is someone who both sides can find resonance with. She's one of the few people that was in the between.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that she can be the trigger here for a real reevaluation of how we communicate and how we do business. And maybe it was the necessary point to help the country drop that polarized communication style and start finding something more Saturn and Libra, more balanced, more fair, that
yeah.
we couldn't have done without a shock to the system from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that's how it gets used, not to say this was necessary or the cause for it, but that we can use it well as to the best of our ability, looking at the aspects now, looking at the whole, hopeful they are to help us change how we think and how we communicate in the process.
Right. And I think the other part of it is the, you know, we don't traditionally think of women as getting shot. You know, it seems to be more of a guy thing, you know. I mean, we get killed in crimes of passion, you know, where they're mad because we're, you know, whatever they're trying to control. But it's not like we don't think of female politicians. That's traditionally been a role for men. You know, in terms of the assassinations in our country's history and in terms of the assassinations in politics. And I know when Benazir Bhutto got assassinated, it was a very big moment, a really big turning point in her culture because it was like, wow, you know, we're killing the women now. What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? And the other thing I thought was instructive was her husband was to be the shuttle pilot on the last shuttle. And I don't know how many people realize that the shuttle program is shutting down due to cut loss of funds. We're not going to be investing in it anymore and sending people up. And he was scheduled to fly the last mission.
And his twin brother is up there now.
Right, and his twin brother is up there now. So it's you know, it kind of makes us recognize the ending of other things too, that the 60s as the beginning of the changes in the culture from the point of view of women wanting to have the same jobs as men and have the same experiences, you know, and now we have that happening, and at the same time that was also when we really started the work to go to space, and now we're saying, you know, we're done with space, we're not going to do space anymore. And that the two are kind of tied, at least through their relationships and their connections. So, but I, you know, there's a little part of me when this kind of stuff happens. I'm always like, oh, you know, I want to pray for them to get better. But at the same time, I'm always like, remember when the Central Park jogger happened? And I, you know, and she was so beaten and so bruised, and the recovery was so arduous and the life changing, you know, life changing.
I think, you know, I saw Woodruff, who was more badly damaged brain-wise than she was.
Mm-hmm.
They thought when his brain was blown up with covering in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they showed pictures of him with part of his skull off, the way my brother had. She had the craniotomy the way my brother had, where they took off a third of his skull.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get it done as quickly as they did with her and with my brother, the recovery time is surprisingly better. And there was no other injury except for one shot that did not cross the midline.
Mm-hmm.
So something's going to go, but the brain's capacity to rewire is spectacular. It's just going to take a long time before she comes back.
Yeah.
If she comes back. But it looks better. All the signs have been good when I look at her chart. That she has Chiron in Aries, that the ability, the wounded healer, her ability to heal that wound in her head may be quite an inspiration to the work that she needs to do next. So I'm really rooting that, but I'm, you know, again, I just like whatever she needs, may it happen. And I'm sending her support, energy to do what she needs to do here.
Right, right. Very smart. Yeah.
But and so you both of us, we didn't have this terrible disaster, which is nice. And how do these transits fit in our more ordinary lives?
How these transits fit in our more ordinary lives is say, so what's your vision of the future? What do you want? You may have had this plan. The reality is this. How are you pivoting and greeting your new reality? And what is the new reality? Because we are having this major change. And in a couple weeks, we have Jupiter going into Aries, which starts a whole new 12-year cycle. So we're at the big wrap-up right now. The big wrap-up of the old chapter, back to 1999. The big begin of the new chapter, ding, 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 January 22nd. And in it rustles, in it comes. So we want to watch that energy and see how it shows up in our world, you know, because it is a big beginning. I know for me it was an interesting weekend. I went away with some friends who I hadn't been away with ever before, so that was kind of always, it's always interesting when you travel with people for the first time. We had a lovely time, ate, you know, delicious food. Everybody was cooking and kind of creating in the kitchen. And we were having kind of a visionary, you know, what's the vision of the weekend? What's the visionary of the next big path? So it was like, okay, what's the vision? You know, where are we heading? What are we going for? So I had a great time, and we were kind of in the middle of this snow, in the middle of out in Sag Harbor, which is a port, used to be a big whaling port, actually, in Long Island, and so I was reading the history of Sag Harbor, and it's kind of this historic town. It was really beautiful. So
wonderful.
Yeah, so I had a great
Mark,
weekend.
How were you experiencing it?
I'm still catching up on Mercury retrograde.
Well, that Mercury square Uranus really threw a lot of neurological thought and mercurial stuff way off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying, are you sure Mercury's still not retrograde? No, I'm still catching up. I published the wrong article. I published notes on my website when it should have been an article. And, you know, it's a doozy.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I keep running into and hearing all around me. Those kind of miscommunications. It's pretty funny.
Just, yeah, when it's not you, it's very funny.
But when it is you go, oh, wow, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, but I get part of it, and but I think you're right. A lot of people are feeling this new vision coming in, but the first sign of it is they're feeling like their skin is itchy, like they're about to shed, and they haven't quite shed yet.
Yeah,
that's part of the sense that the new vision. I describe it like a new tooth pushing the old one out, and the old one's getting wiggly.
It's like, I'm ready to shed. I'm ready to let it go. Really? Where is it going to go? I don't know where it's going to go yet, but I'm ready to get rid of it. And that what? What? Where? Yeah. The what, where is where I still am. But it's okay. It's, you know, it's in process. No. But I think it's also when we look at the you know, the week ahead, Mercury's also going to go into Capricorn. And once he gets out of Sag, he's going to be much better behaved. When he's in Sagittarius, it's kind of like, you know, he just kind of is very scattered, very unfocused. And so he's going to calm down a bit when he gets into Sag and really give us
after he gets past the conjunction to Pluto.
After he gets past the conjunction to Pluto. Well, he has to go through, you know, Pluto's like next week, not this week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, just go into Capricorn and calm down. Stop being so damn chatty, will you? You know, like, leave me alone. But it's good. It's like a connecting, relating energy, too, when he's in Sag.
And I've also seen that when Venus went into Sagittarius, and it sounds like your group enjoyed this, too, that people got tired of their, you know, they got so close to their family and friends over the holidays, and Venus witness Sagittarius, and they didn't want to do that. They wanted to go out of town with people they didn't know and cook strange food. They wanted to talk to people that they hadn't seen or go somewhere in town they hadn't been before, just wanting to leave the familiar and explore.
And have a journey to a foreign place, yes.
Yes. A couple of relationships that got a little threadbare over the holidays, I'm seeing that restlessness take a, I'm hoping not too unproductive form, but I see the emotional restlessness, which I think is going to cause some real problems in their relationship, and I wish they just, you know, end it first and then get in trouble later. But the, that, you know, so how do they put, use that restlessness to good capacity? Most people, though, seem to be using it well. And should we put it, give out the number and see if
sure.
there's anybody on the line?
We have a couple people sitting on the line already. 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So we'll pick up the caller. Hi, 951. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I kind of study astrology, so I was kind of following what you guys, a lot of what you guys were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I wanted to know, I have a stellium, I believe it's in Scorpio, because I have, let me get my chart, hold on, I'll just pick it up.
Can you give out your birth information while you're doing that?
Yeah, it's October 11th, 1980. I was born at 5:16 in the morning at in Long Beach, California.
1980. And what time did you say?
5:16 a.m.
Okay. Yes.
And
what were you asking about?
I just wanted to know a little bit about my chart. I kind of understand some of it, but I have like a deep understanding to try to know a little bit more and what's ahead for me in the upcoming year. Or this year, per se. Not the upcoming year. The year we're in.
So October 11th, 1980, at 5:15 a.m. in Long Beach, California.
5:16.
So you were born with 5:16. You were born at Venus was just had just come up over the eastern horizon. It was right before sunrise, and Jupiter was just about right on the ascendant. So do you live near Long Beach, California now?
I actually live in Corona, so it's kind of, I'd say it's about 40 miles
close. That's plenty close. It's you probably end up going to stay around where you were born for much of your life because the rest of the world won't feel so exciting. Some really nice aspects are going on around Jupiter. Being on a Jupiter rising line is pretty comfortable. But I can see where you were born with the Sun was just about to conjunct Pluto. Do you know what was going on in your life when you're about 3 years old, 2 to 4 years old?
I was I actually was taken away from my parents, and I grew up in like foster system for like most of my life. So, yeah.
And that happened when you were a couple years old?
Yeah, when I was two weeks old, and
that's a beautiful example. And thank you very much for sharing that. I know it's probably not easy to do, but when people share their story, we learn so much as astrologers.
Oh yeah.
By progression, your Sun was a few degrees away from Pluto, and it would have by progression conjunct Pluto when you're about 2 years old, and you went through some Plutonian experience, some loss, some sight of how power could be used or misused, and that really reprioritized your life after that. So that was a major event that you went through.
Oh, that's
no
true.
Doubt about it.
That's very true.
I mean, it looks like, you were born with your moon in Scorpio, conjunct Uranus, and Mercury and Mars all in Scorpio. So one sign of you is very friendly and open. The other part of you is pretty private. And, you know, you probably grew up, you know, even if there were people were well-meaning around you, like it took you a long time to trust people. And you had a very rich inner world that kept you alive. And probably from the looks of this, you had some pretty strong guardian angels. Like there was help around you even in dark times. You know, no lack of dark times, but some interesting help around you.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now, the mere fact that, you know, I have Mercury and Moon and Mars and Scorpio, does that have anything to do with the fact that I, like, look for the deeper meanings behind things? You know, like...
Mm-hmm. Always. Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's also why people can't lie to you. You know how you always catch them when they lie? Yeah. You always know if they're not telling you the truth. Yeah.
Or like I like watching like Law and Order or mysteries, so I can like figure out. I'm like, I know who did it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You always know.
Okay.
You go, they're the one. That's the one. Everybody goes, how do you know that? How do you know? And you're like, oh, it's the clue. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You've
got
pretty good intuition. You might, you know, if you wanted to go into something like forensic science and not tell them that you are an astrologer, you probably do quite well in it. Because you have a natural ability to solve mysteries.
Mm-hmm. And to spot
sometimes
the lies.
Sometimes you may be too suspicious and not see the potential in people. And so, you know, assume they're worse than they are. Because you've seen people at their worst at various times in your life.
That's true.
Sometimes you may miss the good part in them. So you need to make sure that you see it with a full sight. Are you thinking of moving sometime in the next few months?
You hit that right on the nail. Yeah, I am thinking about moving. Actually, to a bigger place. This one's kind of small, and I'm expecting a new child. So, you know, I'm going to need...
wonderful.
Yeah. Do you see any... Oh, thank you.
Because your moon is about to conjunct... Neptune and Mars in Sagittarius and then go over the bottom of your chart. So it looks like you're feeling restless about the home and are considering moving.
That's correct. Okay. Does it say how the move is going to go or how things are, like, a little bit, you know, further down the line?
Good. I think good.
I think once we get to fall, it kind of stabilizes. Right now, this whole springtime is really coming up with a new vision of where you're going. You've got Saturn coming to your sun. He gets to 18 and then he stops. 17 and he stops. So he doesn't quite get to your sun until the fall. So what often happens is people kind of end an old life and begin a new one, which certainly a child would do. It kind of ends one chapter in your life, starts another. And then in fall it calms down. And your chart kind of settles into the new life or the new vision. The other piece is you've got a lot of energy around reevaluating what's really important to you with a new 12-year cycle starting. So if you think back to 1999, you started a cycle back then when you were 19 around relationships and how you related to the outside world, and now you're starting another 12-year cycle around what you see is important. And then we also have big structural changes this year with Uranus going into Aries, which is a once every 84-year cycle. And, you know, that's huge. And for you, it's going to be very important because Uranus and your moon are joined, and it's in your seventh house. So you're starting a big 84-year cycle about relations as well as a 12-year cycle. So this is a major turning point for you in your life in terms of what you want to create. And with your chart having a lot of emphasis in the first quadrant, it's a very self-determined chart. It, like, wants to say, I'm in charge, and this is how I'm going to go about doing it. And, you know, you're ready. You're really ready to kind of say, okay, I've been in the world for a while now, and I think I know what I want, and I'm going to go get it. Thank you very much. So it's a good time. You know, this is a good couple years for you to kind of really put down roots and build the vision. So this year is kind of pulling the vision in, and then next year is really putting it in place, starting in the fall, putting it in place.
Okay. Well, I have one last question. This will be my last one. Now, my wife, she's a Pisces, and so she has, I think it's like a certain degree, I think it's within 9 degrees in Pisces, and so she has a lot of like, very vivid dreams and experiences and visions. And I wanted to know, was that the same case in my chart, or is it different because I don't have any signs in Pisces? Because I know I have...
You can have dreams for many other reasons. Pisces is one of the water signs, and you have your lineup in Scorpio. So she's sort of like a psychic sponge and sort of picks up lots of dreams and images. Yours is more like a laser focus. You're on or you're off. You won't soak up as many dreams in the same way, But you do have Venus in your 12th house. Sometimes your dreams will help you heal, or sometimes you just sleep on it and you feel better. You don't necessarily see what it is clearly. But your Mercury, your lineup in Scorpio will give you occasionally some really powerful dreams. She's kind of lives in it all the time. But yours
yeah.
is more, but sometimes it's a little hard for her to sort out what's a dream and what's not. I think you're clearer about that, but it can be very focused. Not as quite as much, but more intense.
Because this one dream that I had, it was saying that, you know, that she sees and that, you know, that I see and that she dreams. And I was like, I thought that was very interesting that I got it in my dream, because usually more than likely, like, she'll have a dream and then I'll be able to vividly see exactly what she's talking about and be able to, or sometimes I can, you know, see something that's coming down the line. It's like, you know what, this is going to happen because watch. And then it ends up happening, so I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really interesting.
See, it sounds like you work well together and that you probably have a pretty strong intuitive bond, that you know what each other's doing.
Yeah, we do.
Which is lovely on a good day. You know, it's like, you know that neither one of you could sneak around because you know that the other one would pick up on it. But if you have, but that you have that wonderful warmth that'll help with the kids. I think you're actually, you've got a lot of growing up that you're doing this year as Saturn goes back and forth over your son. And being a parent is a real healing for you and a real wake-up call. It's helping you understand and maybe forgive some parts of what happened to you as a child, but also maybe, you know, be even more fed up with what happened to you as a child, both. Because as Saturn goes over your sun, goes over where that sun Pluto was when you were in the first couple of years, you're looking at the little kids and going, how could the same thing happen to me as I look at this child? So it's going to be some layers of your own healing that are going on here. And just when it comes up, just feel it like it's like chunks of shrapnel leaving you. But it can be a really healing time and a really huge growth spurt for you being a parent.
I think you're going to find that your child, because, you know, the child in your case is ruled by Saturn in the fifth house, and it comes to the first. And I think that the parenting is going to be one of those things you're going to find you're really, really good at, because you really raised yourself in many ways. But you're also going to really be in the mode to kind of say, okay, you know, I learn from my child teaches me. And I think it's going to be a real interesting experience as you're working with that new life.
Yeah, no, I mean,
lots
it's my
of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be my third, so I'm prepared.
All of that. Three kids is much more work than two.
Oh, yeah.
It's what my sister always said, it's double, you know, it's double teaming when it's one. It's man-to-man. It's man-to-man when it's two, and then it's zone when it's three. You just go to where you need them, you know. Who needs
I hear
you?
That.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, thank
okay,
you. You
good
got
luck.
This so helpful. All right, thank you.
All good. Thanks.
All right, okay. Next up. Hi, 207, you there?
Oh, hi, is this B?
You're in, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Tom Walsh. How are you?
Hi,
Happy
Tom,
New
how are
year.
You?
Good, hi, Tom.
Good, hi. I just tuned in. I wanted to, I'll give you my birthday, January 27th of 1959.
Mm-hmm.
At 11:50 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
in Queens, New York.
Okay.
And I wanted to know what transits are coming into my sign this year and what I should look out for.
Okay. And are you still up in Maine? Were you in Maine for a while
yes.
there, too?
Yes, we still are.
Oh, you're still up in Maine. Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, we haven't heard from you in a while, but I vaguely remember Maine being as part of the story.
I've been offline for a while. Now I'm
back on with
a satellite.
Okay, cool. Well, it looks like a lot of changes around your work area. You know, Saturn's going to be in your sixth house, which is the house of health, the house of work. And you've got a bunch of new connections coming in over this next chunk of time. That certainly, to me, would be a big one, is like what's going on with health and work. Looks like the financial situation that you were working with a little couple years ago, last year or so, is going to really be easing up this year because Pluto's getting off of your Saturn-Pluto trine.
Oh, good.
That we like to have go away.
Yes.
And also your depression, Neptune off of your Venus, should be shifting too.
Great.
So that'll be nice. You know, so less depressed, less financial pressure, and new work. So that looks good to me. And then also an increase in your spiritual connections.
Good.
Yeah, because Jupiter's in your 12th.
Yeah.
Heather, what do you, Mark, what do you see? Mark, you've been quiet. You out there still?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm still setting up the chart.
And you had, Anne, did you have 4 degrees Leo progressed moon?
I didn't do progressions. I just did his natal transit
basically.
Quickly. Yep, I got a 4 degree progressed Leo moon on the Vesta. That's a house change. Yep.
Yep. And it looks good. I mean, it looks good to me. There might be some changes going on in your home around 8 months from now when your progressed moon conjuncts Uranus, either moving or renovating your home. And just in general, about 4 months ago, your progressed moon went into Leo and kind of lifted your spirits or made you sort of a little restless to be more sociable and get out there and be more visible and more connected again. Your progressed sun is going to be going into Aries later in the year, not right away, but, you know, again, we're thinking 8 to 9 months from now when and starts a whole new 30-year cycle of more activity, more involvement, sort of coming home to yourself. So some really good things coming up if you work with them. None of these aspects demand that you make a change. They don't kick you out the door and say, you know, go be a success. But I think there's a real opportunity, doors opening for you this year if you decide to take them.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, and the last couple of years have been hard, so it's kind of like also the relief from that difficulty that you've been really kind of struggling with that Saturn-Pluto.
Yeah.
That, you know, the Saturn-Pluto is a butt kicker, you know. It's just not a pleasant transit.
I submitted to it.
That's the best way to go, man, because you just, I got an email the other day, my sister's having a Saturn, as having Pluto on her Saturn or Capricorn Saturn. So my brother-in-law writes me and he says, can you help? You know, I'm like, I can try. It's a hard one, man. It's a hard one. And it is hard. You just
so
kind
you
of
made
are
it.
In the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you made it and you're taking out the other side and it looks like there's a lot more room for you to expand and make choices this year. It's a proactive year. Last year, it looks like there was an awful lot of reaction, that you just had to do the next thing on your plate, deal, you know, put out the next fire or just manage what was there. There was plenty there. There wasn't no need to create. But this year, it won't be such a high agenda on the outside. This year, it's much more what you create. If you don't put two bricks on top of each other, you won't have two bricks on top. But nothing's going to take them down, but nothing's going to put them up for you. So it really is what you choose to make of it.
And it's not as blocked as it was either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should have a real sense of something being lifted. And, you know, the coast is clear. It's kind of like, you know, the posse went by. And you were successfully hidden. And now it's probably safe to come out. And it is, actually. So you have, like, a moment after the storm here.
Onward and upward.
Move around safely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so take advantage of it and, you know, enjoy the lightness and also not having to feel driven about anything. Just be able to do what feels right.
That's interesting to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't.
Do you have any particular question?
Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to know about my transits.
Okay.
Cool.
Good luck on that.
Yeah. So keep us posted. Are you thinking of moving?
I just moved.
Oh, you did just move. Okay.
Yeah, we just moved in the 23rd of December.
Okay.
Mm. Are you going to do some renovations?
We need to do a lot of renovation.
Okay.
Right, okay, that's what we're seeing then. It's, you know, you can't tell if you're changing your home or the home itself is changing. So it sounds good that you're doing that.
Well, it's a big change for us because now we're really out. We're only a few miles away from the other place, but it seems like we're way out in the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nothing but tundra out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat land as far as we can see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which gives you a real sense of spaciousness, too. Yeah.
Yeah. When the morning breaks, it comes right in our windows because we have no curtains, you know, yet. And it breaks early.
Mm-hmm.
And it just comes right in and wakes you up.
And says, wake up, a new day is here. A new day
That's
is
right.
gone. Yeah, morning is broken.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But it is beautiful. But it's a whole new world, you know. It's like nothing is the same at all.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it really does feel like once you finish with that Pluto transit, you really, you know, you're out of the darkness. You really shift into the light again, and you're like, wow, the light, there is light. You know, it's not so depressing or sad or held back anymore. It kind of really shifts.
Right.
Major change, yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
Major change.
Well, we might have somebody else, another caller on the line, so
okay, I'll let
call
you go.
Us back.
Well, thank you very much.
Harder on down the line.
Okay.
Good luck.
Talk to you next week.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Good afternoon.
Hi, 111, how are you? You have any question for us?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Frank. Yes, I have a question. I did myself a major tarot card reading, and I really felt that around Easter, I will be open up for love.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a new relationship or a reconnection with an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you were able to indicate that through my natal chart.
Okay, what's your birthday?
Okay, let's take a look.
August 24th, 1961, born at 4:30 a.m.
Let's see, August 24th.
Where?
1961.
In Summit, New Jersey.
What time was it?
4:30 a.m.
Thank you.
My tarot card reading indicated the hangman, which the way I can interpret that is to be Easter, which is the Christ.
Mm.
So I think this
might. And what position was that in?
In the last one. So I really think it was to have me hang out, just wait until the hangman comes in, which might be the Christ, which is Easter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to just make sure I got the birth information correct. And that was August 25th, 1961.
August 24th.
24th, 1961, at 4:33 a.m. Is that correct?
4:30 a.m.
30, okay. 4:30 a.m. Beautiful. Okay. So you were born the first day of... You were also... It's interesting... This is the second person we've had with a Sun-Pluto conjunction in Virgo tonight. Sun-Pluto conjunction, different signs.
There often are themes in our callers.
Yes, I've noticed that. That's really
it's like maybe it's a trine, 120 degrees.
Mm-hmm. When you were with your Moon Mars trine natally, it looks like you have the habits of being somewhat isolated.
A little
and,
bit, yeah.
Yeah, that Mars in Libra really wants to be in relationship. And
yeah,
really
I do.
And knows how to be fair to other people. But it looks again like there was the habits of being alone as a kid, that you just kept to yourself a lot.
Yeah.
Especially from late kid years. Like 6, 7, 8, 9.
I like to fall into my own routines, yeah.
Right.
But also, I need a significant other, too.
Mm-hmm.
And my tarot card reading.
With the hanged man at the far end, it can also say, the timing says could be spring, but it can also say, something needs to shift in you to create that room. In other words, it's not going to happen passively. And it doesn't say to me to hang out. You know, when I look at your chart, it says, no, sitting still and waiting for things to be different isn't really going to make the difference. But there is something about changing your own patterns and looking at your life and seeing where you can open up to the flow of relationship more. How can
you
be more involved in your world?
But what are you able to see for Easter time for me, April, end of April, in my transits?
The end of April, you're going to have Jupiter opposite your Mars in the ninth house, and you're going to have Uranus just finished with your Juno partnership. So it's really more in the March time frame, I would think.
You say it's March, right?
More in the middle of March.
As a possibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be when I would think it would shift.
If you find a ways of being, of connecting with it.
Right.
So
but it is proactive. You have to get out a bit to do it. Yeah.
Because other psychics told me I just might meet this person on the street in Drain Weed somewhere, and we just might connect. Mm-hmm. It's just by coincidence.
Yeah, well, you do have Pisces and ruling your 12th, your 8th house. So what often happens with Pisces and the 8th is you kind of meet serendipitously. You know, when someone says, oh, I have this person you should meet, and or you're walking down the street and you're talking to someone and you meet them in a bar, certainly, with Pisces, but it also has, you meet them in your chiropractor's office. You meet them kind of through unexpected circumstances that just kind of conspire. You know, I had one client who met in the middle of they were both having dinner in a place in Utah, going in different directions when she met her partner. But they met there, and they both were like, you know, a half an hour either way, they would never have met. But it kind of happened with the Pisces on the 8th, it kind of serendipitously, I think of that as the serendipitous meeting. You can't really say, well, go hang out here because you're going to meet partner. It's like, you meet them when it's time. It kind of shows up, and you go, oh, wow, you're here. Cool.
So,
there's
so
a bit of
say,
a magical feel to it.
But you don't meet them sitting home.
Yes, you don't meet them.
So you say sometime in March, I just might meet this guy, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who you're looking for?
Yeah, his name is Daniel Joseph Lynch. Yeah.
I think if you're looking for someone in particular, you might not meet who is there. And I think that if you really want to develop relationship, and then you need to be open to how it comes to you. And to practice by developing better friendships in the meantime, so that you have the habits of being more open and of seeing who's in front of you. I have a feeling that you would tend to imagine that even if he walked in the door, your tendency would be to see who you want him to be and not who he is. So I want you just to kind of practice really seeing the people around you and enjoying and making connection with them, so you have the habits ready when the opportunity to meet a partner comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So you do see a partner coming in maybe in March or April, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see it as a possibility.
Possibility with that Uranus. It's on your marriage planet. Juno is a marriage planet for men and women. And it also is, starting a new 84-year cycle as well as a new 12-year cycle. So did you meet a partner in 99 or in 87, a serious partner either of those years?
Not that I can remember. Because this person's also a Virgo. He's born August 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Only a day apart from me.
Right. Well, I think, you know, are we looking for a new person or we're looking for an old person to return?
An old person to return.
Yeah. And that I don't know, it's not necessarily a retrograde.
That's what
I'm not
seeing. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I may be wrong, and I love it when I'm wrong and people are happy without, you know, contrary to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see you coming in from someone from your past, but opening up to a new possibility.
Yeah, I was understanding it's somebody new.
And that may be wrong, and ignore me completely if it is, but I just don't want you looking for someone and missing what's right in front of you.
missing the new opportunity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So keep your eyes open in both sides.
So this person, which goes by the name of Daniel, he just might not appear, but a new person just might, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's an old person from the past. I think it's a new partner coming in. I mean, are you still in contact with Daniel, or is he?
No, I haven't seen him in a year and a half.
Yeah, I think it's somebody new, because this is like a new energy, kind of a new beginning, a new spring. And maybe the relationship lessons that you learned from Daniel will be helpful in this new relationship coming in, which is why you saw the tie to the past, the hangman. But that I think it's really more releasing yourself from Daniel maybe to go forward in the springtime. That you'll, you know, because the hangman energy is you're kind of waiting for the old to return as opposed to exploring what the new opportunities are before you. So
Also, I have a second question. Whenever I do a composite chart and I see that there's a full moon in the composite chart, it's like a flash in the pan because I had an editor who, like, backed out on me for some strange reason. I always see this. Whenever there's a full moon in the composite chart, so it's like a flash in the pan. They just don't seem to stick with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, full moon is you're supposed to work with them to see what you're supposed to see. And if it's a full moon, it does imply some kind of separation, ultimately, because the moon is separating on when it's full. And it provides illumination. You see something you hadn't seen before, but you don't necessarily stay with them in a long-range partnership. For a long-range partnership, you're going to look more for a sextile or a trine. And
A
square sometime, because, well, squares are going to stay together a little longer because there's a kind of combative energy. You know, you want to argue with them, so you stay together. But a full moon, what happens is people go, well, okay, got to go, bye-bye, and they roll. And they kind of shift into a whole new, they leave, you know, in the separating aspect.
There's one thing about Daniel and I have Aquarian moon, he has a Libran moon. Our moons are in opposition.
Right. Well, Aquarian moon and Libra moon are in a trine.
Trine, yeah.
So they're an air trine.
No, that's just a Libra, no, I meant the Leo moon.
Leo moon is in opposition, yes. You said right. You said Libra in the first time.
I'm sorry. I wonder how compatible is that.
It is. It's good, but it is separative. You know, so you see each other, but your moons aren't in the same sign. So you're kind of, you know, one moves and the other moves, and you kind of wait for each partner to kind of you do this, and then okay, now you know it's my turn. We like when it's in a long-term relationship that is ongoing. That's a stimulating aspect, but it's not like an easy to live with aspect.
Yeah,
so
I heard
like,
about
you know,
that.
Easy to live with is the moons are trine, they're conjunct, or they're sextile to each other. So they have a compatibility of elements. Right now with the opposition, you know, they're on opposite sides of the room. So you can have relationship, but it isn't necessarily easy flowing.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that. Other people have told me that.
Yeah, and that's okay. It's, you know, it's just kind of when you're working it, you go, okay, it's not going to be easy flowing. We're going to always see the world from slightly different points of view. And that's okay. That's how we see the world. Then within there, how do we structure relationship or structure connection?
Because my tarot card reading said that we will eventually meet and have some type of association, but I wonder what kind of association it might be.
I don't know. I don't know what the tarot card reader was seeing, so I can't tell you, but I can say you do have good relationship stuff for this spring, and the British lady just spoke, so we're going to have to hang up. We got to finish our show. All right. So this is the British lady. You guys heard her, right? It wasn't just me.
Yes, I did.
We got 2 minutes left, 90 seconds. So this is Access Astrology. We're three astrologers, and we take calls from listeners. We talk about what the week ahead is, and this week is actually very productive because we have an Aries moon Monday, Tuesday, and then we have a Taurus moon the back end of the week. So it's a great week for getting things accomplished. Lovely closing aspects for both moons. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk, and I'm joined by my friends.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the Twin Cities area of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
Mark?
Is Mark Wolt. Mark Wolt in New York City also.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for snow.
Waiting for snow. And Mark, where can we be found every Tuesday?
At the Open Center in Manhattan.
Right.
and that's on 30th Street between 5th Avenue and Madison Avenue from 6:30 to 7:30. We have a lively discussion group, and it's a lot of fun.
And Heather out there in the Midwest has meetings from time to time. Do you have any you want to talk about, Heather?
Yes, I do. They're all on my website, rowanrobbins.com. And you can call any of us from the Access Astrology site if you want private readings. We love to take it in depth with you.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So tell your friends about us, and we'll see you next week. Take care and have a great week. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.